Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we continue with our transmission of Celebrating Women 2021 International Women's Day. And all through the day, we've been speaking to Nigerian women, both locally and in diaspora, about their thoughts, their perspectives about women generally in public service, in the private sector, in social service, and all other areas of life. And right now, it's time for us to talk with Abimbola Junaid. She is a fighter and a continuous survivor, whether she's doing it through her passion of volunteering, policy, gender advocacy, God, mother, friend, associate, woman of faith, and citizenship. Abimbola is true to her journey of finding self in a world intended to define and shape you. Tough journey, but full of realism. It is little wonder that our motto in life is to thine own self be true. All right, Ms. Abimbola Junaid, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio, IWD 2021 broadcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, let me just say that you're someone I quote copiously on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Anytime I'm on air, I talk about your concept of diaspora being Nigeria's social security. I will never forget that. And I use it, like they say, anyhow on air. All right, so...
It is still true till today, even more
so. Yes, it's true. Yeah, even more so now that the central bank is saying they'll be giving you guys 5 naira, but I don't know whatever it is, but it just still accommodates the role of diaspora. Yes. All right, so today we're talking about the International Women's Day. What does this day mean to you? What's the significance? And also put it in context, from a male perspective, do we have a men's day? Why must we have an International Women's Day?
Thank you very much again, and yes, I would use this medium to wish all women everywhere in the face of the earth, I'm going to wish you a very happy International Women's Day, and also to all the men that love us, that oppose us, that do not violate us, that push our policies, that, you know, stand in truth with us, we are all celebrating together. Now, the question you asked me is about why do we have to have an International Women's Day? I also would like to ask that question as to why would we have an International Women's Day if society at large has actually accepted the role of the woman in society and incorporated that into all aspects of life. It shouldn't then be about having a special day to celebrate women, would it? But the irony is that that is not the reality for women. So much happens in the 365 days that make a year. So one special day would seem to be that one day that we are asking all humanity, you know, everywhere to pause and think about womanhood, girlhood, and the gender. It isn't so much as for women, because women are formidable. Women are warriors every single day anyway. Women celebrate women every single day anyway. When one woman survives or when one woman gets up from domestic violence, we are there as women being the volunteers and communities anyway. So it's just a reminder for the entire world to realize where the journey is so far and what is still left to be done, and still saying, let us create a medium and a space whereby both gender can equally stay and live and better our world.
Okay. I hear you loud and clear, and I totally agree with you. But is there anything left for women? Women have been prime ministers, they've been ministers, they've been managing directors or group managing directors or chairmen or chairwomen of corporations. You know, women are everywhere, maybe not in the quantum which we all desire. But then, what is left for the woman to do that we must now take up as the challenge moving forward? This is 2021. We're in an in-COVID era. and we must just, you know, look at the space. So how does a woman, you know, operate within this space?
Well, I mean that the question that you've asked about what else is remaining for women to do, we haven't even done much at all, because those spaces you're talking about is those minimalist spaces that has allowed women to thrive, that women are shattering the glass ceiling. It isn't that the space and the nomenclature of society has opened up for it to be a fair playing field. So what we're saying is whatever achievement you're saying is still tokenism, in the sense that everyone thinks if a woman's face features here and there, that means women's needs or women's capabilities or women's talent, creativity, talents are being used. No, until it doesn't feel like someone's chest is ripping off their hats when women start to contest or women are in leadership positions, until we are happy to see women be more than just the affirmative action or numbers or quotas, until it is fair for women to walk on the street knowing that it is safe and free for them, until we know that we are not target of gender-based violence and it's still being justified, until we know that as women we have inheritance rights and it is not being contestable in courts anymore, but it has become the norm, until we have a child and it is no longer about what is the sex of the child you're having before it will determine if your father-in-law or your mother-in-law will come into your home, until it becomes a norm in society that there are no more bride marriages and there are no longer child marriages, there is no longer FGM, then would we know that society has changed. So it isn't about seeing our faces in all of these spots. It is when you start letting people, until society starts to understand that the sheer housework and household chores that women put in should be paid for, until we understand that it isn't the woman that fully takes care of the home, it should be a joint task, and until we stop having stereotypes of the roles of women and men in society and looking for the best of the best, then can we say that, yes, we have a better society for women? So the tokenism of what we have achieved, it is because we have fought for that space. It isn't because society is accepting it and is willing to cooperate with us to make it become the norm. So until it becomes the norm, that is all the challenge is about.
Okay. All right. Good. I hear you loud and clear, and I know that, you have some very strong sentiments about this thing. Okay, since you are in the diaspora.
I don't call it sentiment. It is really fact and figures. It is the data is out there, the statistics is out there. So it is high time we also look at the wordings of how we say when women talk about this issue. It isn't about sentiment. Sentiment is something you feel highly about. But what we're stating is the reality and reality of the woman of today and the girl child of today. It is about that family discussion, that societal discussion. So it isn't sentimental. It is an essential mainstream discussion that needs to take place.
Okay, I agree. Okay, so let's look at the Western world. Let's look at Africa, and we'll bring it down to Nigeria. You are in the diaspora, and you've been there for a while, and I know that you're very close to home. What do you think, comparatively, is the difference? The women in the Western world, do they get the same kind of treatment the Nigerian or the African woman gets? Is there that discrimination even in the workplace, in public service, in the private sector? Is there a semblance of it? I know that it's not in the same degree or, comparatively, but then do women in the Western world, do they still get, some of these things you're talking about, are they still affected by it?
I think that I would oblige your studio to actually come up with a women's program, and perhaps I could help to shape the study of women and the history of the woman so that it is a chronological study. It is not something that happens once in a year, so that you can understand the history and the journeys of women, so that you know how those interlinks happen. Because if we were to start to go into all of that right now, I think it would just usurp the time that we have. But one thing I would say in the words of Mrs. Diana is that every strong man in ministry has had to walk a similar path. It is a strength that we show that causes the confusion of society. They think about, where did she get it from? Where is she taking it to? And just as recently as yesterday, if you had watched or heard about the interview of Meghan, the wife of Harry.
Yeah.
And just last week, you can also put that in contextual side-by-side analysis besides Mrs. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala taking the leadership of the women, the Watchmate organization. So it shows that wherever we are still trying to shatter the glasses. And again, I would like to go back to the women's movement, this suffragette movement, which started in Europe and in the UK, for example. Women have also been subdued in all of those developing countries. It isn't as if it has just been easy for women in the Western world to be better off than African women. African women have actually played a lot of role in ensuring that the suffragette and the journey of the women across the world actually takes shape. History is only just acknowledging the role we play. So, and we have our own women too. We have our own women leaders in the likes of Mrs. Anikula Ransom Kuti, Clara Uwanka, and so many of them there, Florence Uwanka, that have done so much.
And Margaret Epo.
So it just shows you, and you've heard about the ABBA Women's Riot, which was about the taxation of the spirit and saying that women cannot continue to be subdued under such taxation. So if you look here in the UK as well, have we also been fighting for the tampon tax, which is saying that the income generated yearly from the sale and from the product of sanitary wares for women, a percentage of that should go into women's budget to actually develop women's institutions. Then can we also go into the fact that in terms of gender-based violence, it's across the world. You've heard about even in the Western world, how the high and mighty are also killed. So is it common back home as well that you will hear about gender-based violence? And in the COVID era that we are in, we think that it's affected more women, younger girls. Many girls would be pregnant during this COVID period and never be able to go back to school to achieve their dreams. So that is different. But the biggest difference in the sides of the world that you might be at or faced with is the fact that is it becoming an enabling environment? Of course, in the developed world, it's becoming an enabling environment. Yes, they may not have reached any better quota, because Rwanda, as we stand and as we speak, is still the best when it comes to women in legislation and the parts of governance and government in that country, and that is a standard for the world. But the biggest thing is that the mind shift, the system shift, the enabling, how well is it happening? And I think that rapidly is working better in the West than we could say of Africa.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are conversing with Mrs. Abimbola Junaid this International Women's Day. And of course, we all know her. She's a friend of the house. And I dare say I'm taking up the challenge of the women's program. And I'm sure after this and some other time, we'll discuss the details. And yesterday, I was just chatting with another woman, Cameroonian. She's runs a Daughters of Sarah program. And I gave her the opportunity to be part of it. Certainly, we'll give you the opportunity espousing the history, the virtues of women, and, you know, doing something along that line. Certainly we'll do that. Okay, now I would hit myself if I don't ask you this question. Now, you've seen from Chibok to Dapchi to Kagara, all the kidnappings of children and young girls. Give it to me, straight from your heart.
Well, of course, this is a pathetic shame that it is happening. And more, this is the government of the day failing women and girls in Nigeria, definitely. And they aren't doing enough at all. If they're doing anything at all to ensure that this actually becomes a thing of the past. Instead, we're seeing that they seem to be romancing you know, the perpetrators and negotiating with them when it should actually be difficult, and hard tactics to ensure that it doesn't continue as a practice. But it's even the bigger picture of the value that we place on human beings. I mean, can it even be different if it was the boys? The boys also were kidnapped not too long ago. But it is about the value we place on human beings. And of course, it is again the value we place on the girl child. We still think that she should be married off rather than in education. And of course, the captives have always said that it is because they're getting an education, which they are against. And again, it shows that the legislation is weak and it's not being upheld to protect the rights and humanity of girls. Because if it was, the government would have really been sharp and hard on such tactics being perpetrated. The lessons would have been learned from Chibok a long time ago, and a lot of measures would be put in place. But we know that that is not even the norm of today, ensuring that we do a policy review and ensuring things in paper. But I think the bigger picture is about what are we really about as a society and as a world. If you look at the world we live in now, they've moved away from many of those mediocre kind of national problems. Where are we at par with the rest world? What are we competing with? Are we still at the level where it's our people that are being kidnapped, rather than we are the best of minds when it comes to artificial intelligence that takes us to next space? People are going to the moon and space and getting back. What are we still doing? We're still fighting about maybe Earth's men should have cows roaming the streets of Nigeria. So it's a big joke. And I think those in power that keep traveling abroad should wake up and say to them, so what legacies are they leaving behind? Is this historical or is this actually a shame that everyone who has voted for them should actually rip off their voters' card?
Wow, wow. All right, you didn't disappoint me. That's why I said you give it to me straight from your heart. Okay, one final, not question really. Your admonition, your advice on it like this to women all over the world, especially the African woman, the Nigerian woman that is listening to us right now, especially tied with the theme of this world is choose to challenge.
Yeah, I mean, to every woman out there, my simple thing that I would say to you is that you're already perfect. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody in the world. You are the essence of the world, you're the essence of society. Look around you. You created human beings. You nurtured them in your womb for 9 months. You continue to be a carer. You continue to be mothers. You continue to love even at the place and point of disappointment. You get it together. Even in your weakness, you rise up. You go for it. You do not feed yourself. You think about the larger society, your household, your family. You sacrifice. You give up yourself. Dear woman, it is high time you know that you're already the perfect thing. Let society try and understand that. Let it not be you beating yourself down or another woman down to think we are less things. We are not the weakest thing at all.
All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Abimbola Junaid, policy researcher, fighter, and continual survivor. Way beyond this conversation, we'll talk about the radio program for women on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. You got it already. No problem. Just tell me whenever it, and then we can put it on it. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. And yourself. Thank you for having me.
Bye. All right. This is Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Our broadcast of one International Women's Day continues with lots and lots of music. Strictly Niger female artists only on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.